precious thing around us. Let's all stand, if you would. Just bow our heads as we open the service. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're truly so appreciative. Oh, God. Father, we go down through this life and follow many trials and many tests. But, Lord, through it all, that grace in our hearts, Father, just pulls for you. Lord, that's that little gift you've placed within us. And we're so appreciative. For, Lord, I can see how undeserving I am of it. Lord, I haven't earned or deserved it, but your grace and your mercy, I'm so thankful. Pray, Lord, you would just bless each and every one of us. Lord, we gathered here, and Father may be on the airways, but Lord, just touch each and every one of us in a special way tonight. Lord, may your sweet Holy Spirit come down and just mend every heart, draw us closer to thee. Oh, Lord, and just renew our desire, Father, to run like we've never run before. We love you so much. Thank you, Father. We just ask all this in your precious name. Be with us through the songs and prepare our hearts for your word, we ask, in your precious name. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. He's so wonderful, saints. I love him so much. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, page 211 in our Only Believe books. Amen. Jesus paid it all.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small, child of weakness. Watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and
for us to do, saints. He paid it all. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, the joy of salvation, saints. So thankful. Page 205, just over one. Amen. Keep me near the cross. Never forget what he's done for you, saints. Amen.
Jesus. Thy glory.
Page 323, if you turn with me. Hallelujah to the Lamb.
Yes.
Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Love Him for what He's done for me, saints.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
It was told that He would come, and the race He would run, it would end on an old rugged cross. But when they laid Him in the tomb, the power of the Lord
Lord, we're so thankful for everything you've done for us. Pray you'll take care of us, everything.
make me more like thee. Amen. Is that your desire? Why we're here, saints.
Make me more like thee, Jesus. Make me more like thee. Give me a heart that's filled with love, and make me more like thee. Oh, make me more like thee, Jesus. Make me more like thee. Give me a heart that's filled with love, and make me more like thee.
Praise his name. I may have something on your heart, a request, a need. Amen. Just hold it on your heart. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're truly appreciative, Lord, and the price that you've paid, Lord, as we sung these few songs. Lord, it takes our minds back to, Lord, what you've done for us. Lord, it's the biggest fear, Father, that, Lord, it would just become a story to some. Lord, or me, that I would think that it's been so long ago that may I forget the price you paid. Lord, as the song says, lest I forget Gethsemane. Oh God, let us never forget, knowing, Lord, that it was real nails. It wasn't just a story. It wasn't just a, Father, just a something meaning something else. But it was real. Real pain, real agony. And Lord, you bore it for me. Lord, may each and every one see it the same. For Lord, in that is our healing, our deliverance. Oh God, may each and every one reach out by faith and take a hold of whatever they have need of. Lord, may they rejoice in it. And Lord, testify to each and every one, Lord, of your goodness and healing them or meeting their needs. We thank you now, Lord. Be with the remainder of the service. Lord, every phase, Lord, as a brother comes with the word, may our hearts be open.
Yes, yes,
and Lord, make it easy for him when he does come.
Yes.
Oh, God, feed us is our prayer. We thank you now in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Amen. I think the sisters have a song. They come.
Revelation, a healing visitation.
Let's all stand, if you would. Sing a little chorus, Only Believe, as ask our brother to come.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
Only believe.
So grateful to be here this evening. And Lord, how it humbles us to think that you'd give us an opportunity, Lord, to come with saints of like precious faith and gather around your precious word and, Lord, to feel the sweetness of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I just pray that we'll continue to grow together, Lord, as a family. And Lord, may we truly yield to you in these last few moments of time and lean upon you, Lord, to lead us and to guide us and to give us the direction that we need, that we would come to that fullness of the stature of Christ.
Yes.
Being a little bride, Lord, that in this last few moments of time you could show off and say, look, there is the replication, the vindication of my precious word laid forth again. Lord, that's the purpose for which we've been sent. And we just pray that these few words this evening will help us, Lord, encourage us along the way. And Lord, just have your way in the remainder of this service, we ask, and we'll never fail to give you the glory and the honor for it all. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. Oh, aren't you glad to be here?
Yes,
amen. So thankful for God's precious word. Thankful for the word we heard this morning.
Yes.
And you know, we should be so thankful that God's word is still as sharp as a two-edged sword. And it still cuts asunder. And, you know, as each one of us said here, and as our brother kept saying this morning, to be sure that we each took it to ourselves. And as we should be any time with God's precious word, as we sit there and that word's coming forth, how we should be measuring ourselves up against the precious word, not by ourselves, but taking that precious word and looking and seeing. And, oh my, it sure causes you to, when you see what he was and what he did and all of his examples that's been left us, how much it causes us to see, Lord, let me be more like you in everything that you've done. Amen. While you're still standing, let's turn our Bibles back to the book of Exodus. This may seem a little strange. I'm just going to read some things tonight just to refresh your memory, things you've heard, and I hope it's not too chopped up. I'm just going to kind of take it from one message that Brother Brandon preached and just pray it'll stir our hearts a little bit in a special way, and maybe be beneficial for someone. I think God's got a reason for it somewhere along the way. But here in Exodus, the third chapter, and let's just start there at the third verse, first verse in the third chapter. Amen. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in the flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw nigh hither and put off the shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. May the Lord bless reading his word. You may be seated. I'm going to continue to read this on down a little bit, but just to catch this moment of God fixing to fulfill his word and realizing he predestinated Moses before the world was ever formed to be the deliverer and the prophet that he would send to Egypt to bring that people out. But I want you just to, we'll just continue on down, is realizing Moses turned aside to see that great sight, and then God speaking to him out of the midst of that flame. And he said, Moses, Moses. He said, Here am I. And he said, Draw nigh, about the fifth verse, hither, and put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry, and by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of that land, and unto a good land, large, and unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And I was just thinking, as you look at this situation, this is now history, so to speak. It's God's word. But we can look back and see God spoke to Moses, and he sent Moses to Egypt to bring that people out. His word beforehand said that he would, that they would dwell in that land for 400 years, and he would bring them out with a strong hand. And how God is ever mindful to vindicate and manifest his word. And realizing, as Moses turned aside to see that bush, and God caught his attention, and God said, I'm going to send you down into Egypt. And as we look at that situation, and we look at how mighty Egypt was, and the armies that Egypt had, and all that was there, but we also see the children of Israel, even though they were slaves and in bondage in that land, they still didn't have it all that bad. As far as you notice, when they came out of Egypt, they began to say, wish we'd been back in Egypt. So the trials of life seemed to get a little rougher than what it was in Egypt. It was a day-to-day grind, and thus they didn't like being there, and they were complaining. But oh, when God started them out on their journey, he didn't tell them it would be an easy road over to Canaan's land, but he said he would take them, and he would lead them. And he'd bring them into that land flowing with milk and honey. But along the way, there was a lot of things happened, but most of all, God went with them when they left that land of Egypt, as Moses went down there, and God vindicated every sign before Pharaoh. And everything that took place and bore out in front of him. And then Pharaoh told them to leave. And as they started out with a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. And to think that that same pillar of fire, our brother mentioned it the other night, and we'll read a couple things, but that same pillar of fire in this day vindicated the messenger that was going to take us to that promised land. And Brother Brandon preached a message called Third Exodus. And if nothing else, I pray the few things that I bring tonight will maybe cause you to go back and listen to that message. And I think you'll find how fitting it is for the day in which we're living. And to see the things that Brother Brandon was presenting and bringing through that message, and how it just fits so perfectly today with the situations in which we see this world in, and the condition that that bride should be getting in ready for that final journey from this old earth. And as we see these things happening around us, but you know, oftentimes when Moses went down there, and God told him to tell the children of Israel, tell them that the I am that I am has sent you. And how He got the people to see who he was, that God had sent him down there. And then the mighty works that Pharaoh done. And then right before that final leaving, the token had to be applied for that final night. And to see that what was required before that final journey, to make sure that every one of them got to leave that land. And to see what God required and how it was set in order. And you know, I was thinking of that kind of this morning as our brother's bringing the word. I'm pretty sure that down in Egypt that night before that, when that Passover was taking place, that death angel was coming. I don't imagine the neighbor was running next door to see if his neighbor had the token applied. But he was out there looking at his own doorstep. He was out there measuring up his own self to make sure that he was in line and he was in tune. And that's where we're standing today. There's churches all around us. There's brothers and sisters all around us. We sat here together as brothers and sisters before Christ. But God has sent a message to a people. And he sent a message to a people and requirements to individuals. Never to a group, but to individuals. He sent a message. And he said, if you'll do this, I'm going to do this. And oh my, that night down there in Egypt, every one of them made sure that was blood was on the doorpost. And we see the results of what happened by obeying God's word. Yes. And God vindicated in those trip they started out and they went and made it to that promised land. Amen. Now many of them didn't arrive there. And we realize the reasons why. But here we stand today. God has told us also. He's sent us a messenger, a prophet in this last age. Yes. That would bring our, to return the people's hearts back to the fathers. To restore those things that have been lost and to bring back a truth to show us what God was looking for in this last age, in that little bride. Yes. And as we stand here as individuals tonight, and we're following a message, you know, we can come here, and it's wonderful that we all come to church. It's wonderful that we all can come together. And you know, we look around this building, and I've got much family here. Our pastor can look around and say, he's got family here. You might look around and say, I've got some of my family here. And we gather here, maybe a brother, maybe a sister, maybe a son, father, mother, dad, however it may be. But we sit here as individuals. Yes. And when I come in here to have God speak to me, I can't come with the attitude, well, my dad said this is the way, so this is the way I'm going. I can't come here with the attitude, my wife feels this is right, this is why I'm doing this. But I've got to come here as an individual before God, and I'm asking God to give to me the revelation personally of what I'm here for, the purpose for which I've been sent. And as this word's coming forth, I'm not looking to see and hope everybody else is matching it, but I'm coming here as an individual to find my place in God's precious word. And in this message, as Brother Brandon began, I'm just going to read a few things, but we must be certain. It's wonderful. Many people say they're following a prophet. But do they realize who a prophet was? They followed Moses out of Egypt and they murmured against him after they got out into the desert. A lot of them murmured against him. They raised up against him. You think you're the only one spiritual among us. You think you're the only one God's speaking to. And he was. And that's how we must see it today. God sent a prophet and he didn't need no one to add to what he brought. He didn't need no one to interpret it for him. God put on printed page and left here exactly what he wanted us to hear. And when we open up this precious Bible, there's many, maybe versions of things written. There's maybe all kinds of different scrolls and scribes and different things that's been written and laying out there. But God sent a prophet in this age that told us this was the most correct version that we should live by. Amen. And he laid that out there. Now God sent a prophet, and when God sends a prophet, he means exactly what he says. You can go back and look to all the prophets in the Bible. Moses, Elijah, Noah, you can see the message they brought and see the results that came from their message and see it live out. And how, as we here today are, see that Brother Branham has come and God came to vindicate that he was the messenger that was to bring the and bring all of these great mysteries and to pull it back together and to show us what was truth and where this was standing. And right before the coming of the Lord, he was going to show up and deliver these things that a bride would be ready to be caught away. And it's wonderful to believe that, but it's got to be revealed to you personally that you know that that was God speaking through that man to you for this last age. It's wonderful to say it was God speaking, but if we really truly believe it was God speaking, how much more attentive we would be to the things that were spoken. And if we truly realize what God was requiring of us, even the things our brother read this morning, how, and that's just one piece, and you could take the whole book, but how much more we would be careful of this precious word that's laying around us as we hear it and realize it's not an option if I want to live that way or if I don't. And it's not what the church says, it's not what the pastor says, but it's what did God's word already say? What is that requirement? You know, I was born and raised, just to be honest, I was born and raised in a church that thought you could do this by rules and a regulation. I'll make you dress like a Christian. I'm going to make you walk like a Christian. I'm going to make you think like a Christian. Man can't do that, and you can't do it in yourself either. It takes God and a revelation and a revealing of himself to each individual to bring the results that he said the baptism of the Holy Ghost would bring on that predestinated seed. And without it, we will not see the results that this Bible said would be there. We'll be lacking. We might dress ever so nice. We might attend church ever so faithful. We might pay our tithes and our offerings and do all we can. And morally good people. But if without God's vindication that word is living and changing and overcoming my life to match him, I have no assurance, I have no peace, and I have no joy to know that I'm fixing to leave this old world. But by God's grace, he sent that messenger in this age. And by God's grace, he's presented us this word to catch our attention and to show us that we are one of them or not. And by God's grace, as we gather here, that's the hope that we have as Lord. As Moses, when he first saw that light, he turned aside. It caught his attention. And he turned aside to see. And then God spoke to him out of that burning bush. And it's the same way God did with this message. He sent many signs and many wonders and a pillar of fire to vindicate a prophet. And it caught many of our attentions. The word that was being spoke, what was happening, it caught people's attention. And they turned aside to see. And then many turned aside and said, nope, must not be right. And then so many followed along for so long, just like they did coming out of Egypt. They trudged so long, so far, and then it was just too much to bear. And then they begin to turn aside. But by God's grace, Joshua and Caleb went all the way through. And they tasted of that milk and the honey that was in that land. And by God's grace, that's where we stand tonight. We want to see this word manifested and vindicated. And we want to see that it's to me, to you. It's got to be such a personalization to us, each one. Yes. Amen. I ain't getting anywhere. Let's read here. I'm going to just start at the beginning of this message. And just read through a couple things Brother Branham had said in here. And just praying that it'll stir your heart. And as I said, if nothing else, go back and listen to that message. And just look at what God is doing for us. Yes, you know, paragraph 54, he had just got done reading the scripture there in Exodus. And he said, now we're going to speak this morning on the subject of a second exodus of God's people. Or the calling out of God's people. And exodus means brought out, called out, taken away from. And I want us to use that subject, the second exodus of God's people. And then that evening service, he came back and changed the title of that to the third exodus. And he said, and they've had many exoduses, of course, but I'm speaking on the time that God called an exodus, a separation from where they were at the present time. And God is making ready to fulfill his divine promised word that he had given to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob. And years, hundreds of years had passed, but yet God never forgot his promise in the season. The due time, God always makes his promise right. Therefore, you can rest assured that what God has promised in this Bible, he's going to do it. Just no need of trying to think anything else and say, well, the prophet was maybe wrong or that couldn't happen in this day. Looked almost impossible then, more impossible than it does now. But God did it anyhow because he promised he would do it. And look how simple he does it. I have come down, I heard the cry, I remember my promise, and I've come down to do it. And I'm sending you. You do it, I'm going to be with you, certainly I'll be with you. My never-failing presence will be with you wherever you go. Don't be afraid. See, I'm coming down to deliver, and I'm sure the spiritual mind catches that, see? I'm going to send you to bring my people to an exodus and call them out, and I'll be with you. And how we can rest and how faith can catch a hold there, see, God is going to do it. He promised it. No matter how, what the circumstances is, or what anyone else says, God is going to do it anyhow, because he promised it. And he does it so simple that it goes over the understanding of the cultured mind who would try to reason about it. How could it be? And as we see that, God is, every place in this Bible we read, God is such a God of simplicity. He said it, and it proved itself out. He made it come to pass, and He bore it out that it was proved all through there. And it didn't need no great interpretation from someone to help me understand that God made it happen. It happened just the way He said it would. And we can see in the book of Acts, as Peter, as he said, repent, be baptized, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then we can also see how the apostle, later on as they were speaking, they received the Holy Ghost while they yet heard these words. And then they went out and was baptized. But they followed the instructions of God's word to the letter for everything. They never let any of it slip. None of it went away by the wayside. God's word was always fulfilled and manifested exactly the way He said it would take place. And God has always backed that word up to make sure that it happened exactly the way He said it would. And oh my, how we can truly see this gone by. But today is our turn. We're standing here today. And we see that God promised there would be a rapture. And He promised there would be a people changed in the twinkling of an eye. And He promised that they would have a perfect faith. And we see all of these things that's written. And as we stand here tonight, people are, do we cry for these things? Has that become my great desire as I see all that's going on around us? We know what He said this world would do. Yes. And we know that the Bible said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so would it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And we look and we see the shape and the condition this world's in. And we don't have to know or ask ourselves, is it? We know it is. There ain't a sinner person that you can't walk up and ask them, and they can look at that. Well, the Bible said this was going to happen, and here it is. They can quote that to you, and they believe it. Amen. It doesn't take rocket science to see that that's being fulfilled around us. And all of the corruption that's took place, and how we, as we see that happening, we got to know that our redemption's drawing nigh. And we see these things and how it ought to stir our hearts to such an extent when we see where we're standing. But yet it should bring such a seriousness and a soberness as we see how many is found fault with the word that God brought. They came shy of the promise in their own life. They couldn't see the vindication. And they got weary and they fell away. And they can't bear it. And it's just too much. Oh, He couldn't have meant that because it didn't work. It hasn't done this for me. God meant exactly what He said. God's word fulfills everything. Yes. If it's placed in the right ground at the right time in the due season, it'll bring forth of its kind. Yes. Here on paragraph 60, He says, notice then how He provided for that promised land people. Look what He did for that promised land people there, that they would not be mixed up with some kind of an ism. What did He do? He sent a prophet to them, Moses, with a message. And just read between the lines. He sent Moses with a message identifying God's word to identify Moses, and He sent a pillar of fire that hung over Him, amen? And then to give them a perfect assurance, He required a token, amen? And there is the messenger, the message, and the vindication, the token and the perfect assurance that they had nothing to worry about. No matter how many plagues strike, what everybody else says, they are sealed away. And oh my, can't you see the importance of that token today? Knowing without a doubt that all my fare has been paid. Yes. He says, they're sealed away. Israel coming out of Egypt, as I said a few minutes ago, is a type of a bride coming out of the church. And when Moses began his ministry, Israel gathered together in one place in Goshen and began to pray because they knew that the hour was at hand. Because they knew something was there and the deliverer had already come and God was working, doing things, showing that He was going to do. And they came from all parts of Egypt, just like they will do the day of His coming. And they'll take a people out of the Methodist, the Baptist, the Lutheran, and all of those who are identified in Christ. By the token, God will take them with Him when He comes. Amen. And oh, aren't you glad that by God's mercy and grace, we stand here tonight realizing what that token is. Yes. And seeing the vindication of it must be in our lives. Oh, wonderful to be able to say, I've shouted. I've spoken tongues. Oh, I've danced in the aisles. Oh, I've seen, maybe had dreams. Maybe I've had visions. Maybe I've seen all these great things. But oh, the assurance that comes when you can say, by God's grace, I see the vindication of God's word in my life. I see it living through me. The characteristics, the identification that he had, I see it bearing about in my body. I see that brotherly kindness. I see that long-suffering. I see that loving one another. I see all of these things, all of the fruits of the Spirit following along with it. But then to see it all, the Word. And it's, our pastor's put great emphasis on that over the years. The A-L-L, all God's Word. And man must live by every word that's proceeded from the mouth of God. And to be able to sit here under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And you know, there's many things you could go in and preach on that, oh, we could just have everybody up shouting and everybody just running around the building maybe. And oh, it would just look like things were just so wonderful. That's what this message people were feeding on. The excitement they can get from thinking about things that they have no assurance of. But oh my, what about a people that can look into God's precious word, the mirror of God's word, and see the reflection of God's word in their own heart, in their own life? What an excitement it ought to be in their heart. What a joy they ought to have, and what a smile they ought to have on their face. And how it ought to put such an excitement in them that when they come together, there's a joy and there's a shout in the camp, not just over emotions, but realizing that by God's grace, we can sit here in heavenly places with him and see that I, with an assurance in my heart, that token's on the door. And that's where we're looking for, saints, as we sit here, each one of us. And it's, I can't have the token for you. You can't have it for me. But as individuals, sons and daughters, all of you, we're all accountable as we come to that age. You may be mommy and daddy's doing the best they can and living with God's word, but are you? It's to each one alone. Each one has to find that place with Jesus Christ. And not just because my daddy believes William Branham was a prophet, I do too. But you've got to find it for yourself that to God is showing you that that was the messenger for this hour that brought the message that is perfecting that little bride. Oh, my saints, we're living in a time to where God don't have grandchildren. Everyone must make sure and be certain of God that they know where they stand. As we see this taking place around us and many changing their ideas and changing their thoughts. And, you know, he's talking today and just reminiscing about testimonies and fellowship of the brothers. And, oh, you know, it'd be so wonderful to be able to talk to some that were in those meetings and maybe sat with Brother Branham in this last stage day and all the things they had to talk about and the things they had to tell. But you know, God didn't let me live there. And he didn't give me that opportunity. But he did make sure that what I needed was placed here for me. Amen. And he made sure that what I had need of to bring me to perfection, I would get. Amen. Through God's precious word. And God sending a fivefold ministry to bring that word to our attention and to keep it all in tune. I don't have to worry that maybe I missed something that was told to someone else. And oh, those things are all wonderful. But by God's grace, I'm so thankful that God made certain. As you look back at the time that the prophet was here and bringing these things, and see how lacking in technology we were at the time, to think that God made sure every bit of it got printed for us. Amen. How thankful we ought to be that that food has been stored up. Amen. And oh my, I thank God that I've been given eyes to see that no matter, I don't have to see where he walked. I don't have to see where he slept or where he stood to make me believe these things. Amen. But by the vindication of the scriptures and what God said would be, we can see it was vindicated and manifested and bore out for God to be proven that this word would take us the rest of the way through. Amen. Here, as we go on, jumping way over now, this is on paragraph 261. God always goes in threes, he says. He's perfect in threes. You'll notice my preaching, it's always threes and sevens. Sevens is the complete. The threes is his perfection. First, second, and third pull. Oh, how everything, justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, he says. Everything, see, notice. What did he do? The first Exodus, he sent a prophet anointed with a pillar of fire. And he called the people out. That was his first Exodus. And when Israel's time was up, he sent again a God prophet with a pillar of fire. And John saw it descending from heaven like a dove. And he said, I go to God, I return to God. And after his death, burial, and resurrection,
Saul of Tarsus on his road down to Damascus saw the same pillar of fire. Amen. I am the beginning and I am the ending. Amen. The Alpha and Omega. He said in Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus saw that same pillar of fire, and him being a Hebrew, well taught in the word, he said, Lord, who are you? He knew it was the Lord. That pillar of fire, he was a Hebrew, and he said, who are you? And he said, I am Jesus. The second Exodus, he brought a prophet anointed, which was his son, God prophet. And Moses said he would be a prophet and had the pillar of fire and done signs and wonders. And that same prophet said that whosoever believeth in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And here he promised the same thing in the Exodus in the last days. He cannot change it. And by scientific proof, by the witness of the Spirit, by the works of the Spirit, we see it today, that great pillar of fire moving among us. And the signs and wonders of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, calling people from a denomination into the presence of Jesus Christ to live and going to a land. There's no mistake, friends. It's not what I'm saying. I'm just your brother. But it's what is God proving to you what makes it the truth. The same pillar of fire he used for the other two, he's brought it among you today and proved it by scientific. And you know, as Life Magazine packed it last month over there, how many was here and heard me tell about that and what happened and where it did it? And I think everyone in the church, there it is. They don't know what it's all about. The scientists are trying to. Anybody got a picture of it? A cloud 26 miles high in the shape of a pyramid. Seven angels represent in there and brought back and brought you the word of God under the inspiration. It tells you these hours that you're coming and living in. The spiritual mind will pick it right up now, see, and get it. It's an exodus. Amen. We're going to leave one of these days. Thanks be to God. Remember, notice the pillar of fire that called them out led them to the promised land under the anointing of a prophet. A pillar of fire that they could look at led them to the promised land under an anointed prophet. And they constantly turned him down. That's right. And I know we've got to, he skips down to 271 to continue on. He says, watch it, what we are calling, and a calling out, come out of Babylon, my people, said the angel's voice. Out of what? Confusion. It's the Methodist rite, it's the Baptist rite, the Catholic rite, come out of it. And today we've got, is this church right? Is that church right? But that don't have nothing to do with it. He says, come out of it, God is right. Amen. And if you can look back, if people would just realize that what's written in these pages will tie right back into these scriptures. From Genesis to Revelations, it doesn't break continuity. And you can see how it just flows all right on off in there. What a consolation it ought to bring to our hearts. Not to try to put something to it that it doesn't say. Don't try to make it more than it was. But take what he said and leave it exactly right there. Say, Lord, let it be to me according to your precious word. I don't have to try to prove that I'm smarter and be able to show somebody else something they've never seen in here before. But I take what God gives me daily to live by and to change my life and to bring me closer into that image of him that I've been predestinated to be conformed to. You've got to come to that place that where you've been predestinated to come. And God will deal with the fivefold ministry's heart to bring the word that's needed for our hearts and our lives at the time and season we need it. To give us the growth. And the Holy Spirit will be there to teach it to our hearts. And to provide the increase that's needed in our hearts and in our lives. But oh my, God set it so perfectly in order. If we could just keep it that way, how much greater and how much more blessing it would be to so many people. But it wasn't predestinated to be that way. God chose a few. And by God's grace, how we should be so thankful. If I can find that God is feeding me. And I see the growth in my life. And I see it matching this word. And bringing forth the fruits that was supposed to be yielded forth from a life filled with his Holy Spirit. He goes on, he says, watch the call. Come out of Babylon, my people. Come out. What do you know? The same pillar of fire. The same anointing spirit leading to the promised land. Notice it led them, brought them out, and led them to the promised land. Israel, the nation. And the same God, the same pillar of fire. They say that the camera... And he references to where George Lacey, not me, you know, where George Lacey examined that picture, the head of the FBI for fingerprint and documents. There is his statement. Some of them say it's a double exposed lens. 10,000 of people have looked at it with their own eyes. And we stood here and looked at it. And you've looked at it. And they said it was an optical illusion. What did Mr. Lacey say? The mechanical eye of this camera won't take psychology, huh? It wasn't no optical illusion. It's there, the same pillar of fire. And by God's grace, we look at that picture today and realize it's not just a picture, but to realize it's a proof that God wanted for the eternity. He set it down here, not for eternity, but for the time we're on this earth, that that would be proof that that photo was taken. And proof that God's prophet wasn't just pulling punches, but God was here to vindicate exactly what he said.
Amen.
Just the same as he was with Moses, he was showing him. Oh, when he was walking with Moses, that old Moses, that old gray beard and that old stick, as our prophet said, walking down through there leading them children of Israel, and then one's murmuring against him, and God just said, separate yourself, and I'll swallow up the whole bunch. But oh, Moses knowing, oh, he pleaded for him. But oh, how much God vindicated to them with everything he done in that Old Testament. We can go back and see all that he done for him. And then we can take today and see all that God has done to provide us with the evidence and the vindication that that was his prophet. And as we stand here today with this same printed word, and today now our pastor gets up to bring and rehearse and to bring new light and to pull together to help give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to reveal to our hearts the things that God has left for us. Do we have the attention span to truly focus the man out of the picture and realize we're setting in God's provided way, and we're asking God to enlighten us with the revelation of his precious word that'll bring the results that this Bible said would be in a Holy Ghost filled life? Oh my, may we truly reach out to the God for these final moments we're living in. May we truly see it's nothing we can do in ourselves. It's a life we can't live in ourselves. We're not capable of holding on to all of these things. But by God's grace, he said he would guide us into all truths and brings whatsoever he had said unto our remembrance. Oh my, may we truly lean upon him. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. This was on paragraph 294. He says, now remember, Moses was not the pillar of fire. He was the anointed leader under that pillar of fire. And the pillar of fire only vindicated his message with signs and wonders. And that pillar of fire led them to the land that God promised them, where he himself would be made flesh among them someday. And what did they do? They murmured and they squirmed and everything else to show it was under the blood of an ordinary lamb. But this time, the pillar that we see among us, the pillar of fire, will lead us to the millennium, where he will return to his people in that great millennium reign after this Exodus, where we'll live eternally with him. He will always be the word of the Father and always proves that it's right. And we are in an Exodus and leaving, turning the tapes off in a moment. Oh, my friends, my brothers, both present and those that will hear these tapes. Amen. And there we set tonight. Let me, as your brother and citizen of the kingdom of God, come out in this Exodus, for all that's left behind will bear the mark of the beast. Come out of Babylon. Come out of this confusion. Come out of these systems and serve the living God. This great angel of the covenant, Jesus Christ, in the form of God, thought it not robbery, but became equal with God. Now he's a pillar of fire in the same form that he was back there, bringing the first Exodus, bringing the second, and here he is with the third. In the first Exodus, what did he do? He brought them out of a natural land to a natural land. The second Exodus, he brought them out of a spiritual condition into a spiritual baptism of the Holy Ghost. And now he is bringing them from the spiritual baptism of the Holy Ghost right back into the eternal land of the millennium and that great hereafter. The same pillar of fire by the same anointed system, the same God doing the same things, and the same word declared the first one, declared the second one. And the same word declared the second one has declared the third one. And here we see it among us. Oh, come out, he says. Come out of this chaos and come to the living God. Come to the Word, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And now he's in our flesh dwelling among us. Come out and serve the living God. And oh, by God's grace, we can see the vindication that he's living and housing himself in human flesh again. By God's grace, we can see that this precious Word is changing our attitudes. It's changed our thinking. It's changed our everything about us. It's changed our entire being. Our drives, our passions are gone. Why? Because when he said he killed out that old nature, that new nature, he said, what was that? That was our drives. That was our passions. We see this word being made alive. Yes. I don't hunger for the things of this world anymore. But oh, my, our vision is turned towards heavenly, looking to the author and the finisher of our faith. And oh my, as we see these times approaching, each one of us has got to be certain that Jesus Christ is speaking to me as an individual. This word is finding ground in my heart, in your heart as individuals, to bring that about. But all saints, we're standing at the door. How close it is. As we see all that's going on, I'm so glad. I know he loves me, and he's holding me in the palm of his hand. And all by his mercy and grace, I know one of these days I'm going to sing up there the song of the redeemed.
Amen.
Amen. But it's only going to be his grace and his mercy, not of my merits, not what I've done to deserve it. When you look around and you see, why did God give me an opportunity? Why did he give you an opportunity to hear this word? Why does he still, is there a desire still burning in my heart to come and to listen and to read and to pray and ask God to take me by the hand and to take me a higher step in him? What places that in there? What makes me want to come in here and raise up my hands and worship him and sing to him? Oh, how great he is, saints. How we ought to magnify his name. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. Amen. As our pastor comes, could we sing that little chorus, for he's the Lord of glory.
Oh, yes, he is. Amen.
Amen. Brother Suttles, help me start that if you would.
He is the great I am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is Counselor, the Prince of Peace is he, the Everlasting Father throughout eternity.
Are he
Father throughout eternity?
Amen. As he's bringing those things out, it makes me so thankful, so happy to know that a denomination, an organization, does not have control of my life, but Jesus Christ. Oh my, it's so wonderful to know. And with that comes many benefits when Christ is in the control seat. My, the many blessings, the many opportunities he has provided for us, it's just so wonderful. Amen. So good to know him in this great hour in which we live, and knowing it's an hour that's closing out, and a rapture is going to take place, and guess what? We're going to leave this old world. Amen. I'm looking forward to it. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, again, we want to thank you for the precious word of God that you've given to us this evening, and we'd be able to sit here, Lord, and line ourselves up with it and see where we stand and see what you've done for us, O God, the many blessings in life, how we appreciate, Lord. I was thinking, Lord, of those that had that opportunity to see the prophet, be with the prophet, and maybe go eat dinner with him, Lord, and all these different things. They hunted with him. They fished with him. And Lord, that was all good for them. And Lord, that was a blessing to them, I'm sure. But Father, more blessed is our eyes at sea. And yet we do not see, have seen those things, but we're blessed to understand. And how we appreciate that, Father. We may not have that opportunity, but Lord, we believe the word of God for this day. So we are so thankful, Lord. And we ask now that you just go with us and again keep us safe, Lord, and bring us back the next appointed time if you should tarry. May we come back hungry for the word of God. And Lord, may again, I'm just praying, Lord, you just let such a love, such a union, and a Christian love be in our hearts for each other. That, Lord, have that same love for each other that you had for us. Lord, that's a lot of love. So we pray that you'll bless us now and we'd be able to meet that in this hour. And we just thank you for all things now. May you get the glory and the honor for it all. In the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Praise his wonderful name. For he's the Lord of glory. He is the great I am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is Counselor, the Prince of Peace is he, the Everlasting Father throughout eternity. You know, I have a tendency on songs like that to go real high, but I like to reach it real high. Amen. May God richly bless you. You're all dismissed till we meet again.